The most action-packed content from the top mobile experts. This is the App Masters Podcast with Steve P. Young.
The world's best subscription apps use RevenueCat to power in-app purchases, manage customer data, and grow revenue on iOS, Android, and the web. With RevenueCat, I can easily see my most important metrics. What are those? That's install the trial the paid, and LTV. And now they have a new paywall feature that's going to make it easy for you to build high converting paywalls and, more importantly, A/B tests without needing a new build. Learn more at RevenueCat.com. That, once again, is RevenueCat.com. Notix is an audience re-engagement service based on web and in-app push notifications that work for both desktop and mobile devices. With Notix, website app owners and marketers can share their content and interact with their audiences in a highly engaging channel, while still having the opportunity to monetize both mobile and web subscribers. Learn more by visiting notix.co. That is notix.co.
Anytime you're starting off, Facebook, Google, whatever, you always want to walk down the funnel. Like, you don't want to start off a campaign that is optimizing for a level 10 of your game. So you want to start off with the install, get some data, get your learnings, make some modifications to the product or the onboarding as you need. Then maybe start a level 2 optimized campaign and key, or a trial start, and then go to subscription. So you always want to be slowly walking down the funnel to reach your sweet spot of scale and revenue. You've seen that sport where you have this disc of ice and you're kind of just using this brush to guide it into the right direction. You can't actually touch it. You don't have control of it. I think that is really what you're doing to the algo, where you're trying to course correct it through ancillary levers. And there are three main levers that I found for that. One is targeting. Second is creative. And the third is your feedback signals. So the first one is targeting, right? We've generally found that interest targeting, it works, but I have never been able to get scale from it. If you're looking to build venture-backed company at scale, then really the only way out is broad targeting and then running different experiments to figure out how to best find that audience. One way we have done that is use first-party data, right? We have so many different products within the Times portfolio. We use a lot of audience lists from other apps and use them as seed lists for different lookalikes. You can keep running experiments with 1%, 5%, 10%, try with audience expansion. I think someone asked about the Advantage Plus as well. Audience expansion works, but I would recommend that in general, whatever you think your estimated TAM is, your estimated audience from as a result of the expansion should not be more than 50% above that. So for example, if I know there are 4 million Indians in the US and my audience is 15 million, then it's expanded. The second is creative. It's a screening mechanism, right? So the product, when it's called Abound by the Times of India, when we launched it in the first phase, it was a cashback and rewards application, right? The shopping cashback is just such a big category. It started attracting a lot of people who were just not part of our audience set. So we started adding more faces that were brown, and we added this feature of sending money to India. Now that itself acts as a self-selecting procedure. And we've seen some level of success with Cameo, getting B-level celebrities but recognizable faces and getting them to run ads, say something nice about the product. Third one, which is, you know, feedback signals. And here, three things matter. Recency, frequency, quality. Recency is how soon after the install does this event occur. Second is frequency. Facebook requires, at least last I checked, a rolling day 7, 50 events as feedback signals per campaign. Google requires 10 events per campaign per day. That's why they have the recommendation of your budget should be 10 times your TCPA. And the third is the quality. You know, what is it that you are actually trying to optimize for, right? So that event has to ultimately be or have a good correlation to your ultimate goal, which is assuming revenue. What I've found is not just depending on your regular event flow in a pipeline, you know, your ETL that's normally there, but also thinking a little bit deeper on creating synthetic events. So we worked really closely with our engineering team and created what you call, we call it an HQ sign up and an HQ bank link. So these are users that we've identified as high quality, and they, and we send that back as a feedback signal to Facebook, Google as an optimization event. Something similar that I had done at a previous company with Elevate Labs, and that was subscription brain training games. So what used to happen is you would sign up for a 7-day trial, which would then auto renew to a subscription. And once we created a bar chart of how much time after the trial sign up do people cancel the trial, we found that a good chunk, I would say 30-odd%, occurred in the first 6 hours. So what we did is we created a synthetic event that instead of firing the trial start at the time of trial start, it was an adjusted trial start. And we waited for 12 hours after the trial, and we discounted anyone who had already canceled their trial. So basically what I did was I introduced a mild delay, so my recency is still taken care of, but I improved the quality by almost 1/3. And that, I think, was clutch in terms of us being able to find the right users and, you know, get the high quality users on board.
Was that something that you had to build internally, Vivek, or is that like something you can do through Emmet? Okay.
I would reckon at this point, some of this tooling might be available if you are running some of the, maybe like a revenue cat or something, but I'm not sure. What we've done, you know, times, right, is as a result of this for Abound, we are now running it in 80% basically match rate for our specific audience. I call it an 80x magnification, right? You have 1% of the demographic audience, but 80% of the audience in our app is now an Indian person.
Everybody talks about broad, but every time I run broad, it gets super expensive. And, you know, I like to focus on like really affordable, cheap campaigns. You know what I mean? I'm not talking about scale. And so one client we had that was in the sports, like betting, we were interest-based targeting with NFL. When I changed the interest-based targeting to all the people who liked all the 32 teams, I dropped the cost per install. So I personally like to do interest-based targeting, but I'm not an expert like you are. So talk to me, like, what's the best approach if you did not have that first-party data that you do have with the lookalikes?
It all depends on the scale you're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
In most cases, you are better off, even if you don't have an audience list available, keeping the targeting broad and letting your creative do the heavy lifting. So at this point, the ML has gotten smart enough that it can, with a very quick sample size, determine what kind of an audience is the best fit. If you do want to do interest targeting, I think you want to try and just understand a little bit more about your audience. And NFL is just so broad. So I think more granular you're able to get is going to be always more useful.
Let's go back to Mary's question real quick. I have a hypothesis that maybe salespeople are more interested. Should she do more interest-based targeting like this, or should she create creatives that say, hey, salespeople, you know, we got an app that's going to help you remember. Is that like, is creative more important then? And she could just keep it broad from like, you know, 35 to 40, you know, 55, whatever.
That's an interesting one. I haven't really done a B2B campaign here before, but you know, if I had a limited budget, my first inclination to be would be to use LinkedIn and target by designations instead of trying to go broad on Facebook. Where so it's not just audience, but also context that is important, right? I would say it's not the first place I would go if I were targeting salespeople.
Right.
The targeting levels on LinkedIn have become pretty sophisticated. You can target people by companies, you can target them by their designation, number of years of experience.
Benjamin said, any words on the Advantage Plus targeting from Facebook? I'll perform all my manual targeting attempts.
You know, it will increase your audience base, but you have to make sure it doesn't expand it too much. So sometimes what might happen is if you do a 10% lookalike based on a seed list with Advantage Plus, it might expand your audience a little beyond what actually is your goal. So you might want to dial it back by taking a 5% seed list and running an Advantage Plus selection with that.
Param asks, how long does a lookalike or retargeting campaign take to really produce results?
It completely depends on your product, your category, what kind of audience you're targeting. Let's go back to the gaming analogy. If you're running hyper-casual game, you'll get a few dollars CPI, like maybe $3 to $6. If you're running a mid-core, it's about $20 to $25. Like Machine Zone, where we had, you know, 4X builder game, you'd get almost $50 for an install. So I think it really depends on your audience, your target. And retargeting now is, especially in iOS, it's a very dicey game because by default, you are retargeting anyway right now if you're using, because there's no device ID, so there is no suppression list anymore. So your ads are, in effect, being seen by people who may already have the app installed. You can actually find that. I think Scan is now able to differentiate that as well as the re-download. But retargeting, it's really tough to get a read on retargeting right now on iOS, but on Android, obviously, you still have those avenues available.
So is it something you should still try to attempt, or is it like, hey, there's other ways? Think about other ad channels if you're trying to scale up Facebook.
Again, lookalikes, I would use lookalikes for prospecting. I don't know if retargeting is when you're a custom audience. So just to differentiate that.
Right.
Retargeting is when you have a custom audience. Say, you know, this is something we do at our end as well, right? We collect first party data, which is your email and phone number. We obviously built out a robust CRM and, you know, data pipeline. We conduct RFM analysis at our end, right? Recency, frequency, monetization analysis to sort of diversify our audience into different segments. Some are power users, some are kind of casual users, some of them are churned out. And then we can take that first party data, create custom audiences, and then send those people messages through avenues like Facebook. So that would be more of a retargeting maneuver. If I had to do lookalikes, I would take our power users, get enough data to put that in a custom audience and build a lookalike off that custom audience to prospect and find users who are more like our power users.
Where would you start if you have no experience with Facebook?
If you have no experience with Facebook, I would find someone who has experience with Facebook, assuming that, you know, you have expertise or at least a consultation, the ear of someone who has done this before, right? I would, one, anticipate some amount of learning cost, right? You have to be willing to spend money to make money. Two, I say, don't be a hero. Do what works. Especially in your beginning, don't be fancy and try to spend money on some famous influencer. Literally just go to your Facebook ad library or TikTok ad library, see what works in this category, replicate that, and run your ads to see what kind of response you get, what is the your retention, what is, you know, how when does it flatten out, so to understand how sticky your product is for this audience. And one important thing I really want to highlight is the fallacy of the early stage product. You know, you meet a company that creates an MVP, runs a few hundred dollars in Facebook ads, they find this audience and they love the product. And they're like, holy shit, we found product market fit. Let's get more money from investors. And once they start spending, you know, $10,000 a day, the costs go out of control, right? And that is because if you are operating at a scale of, you know, a few hundred dollars a day, any algorithm-based network, right, they can generally really pinpoint the low-hanging fruit pretty easily.
All right. Nurex says, Instagram ads really effective on app downloads?
In general, you want to give the algo freedom to select between Instagram, Messenger, Facebook, Fan, etc. There was a time when I would kind of be a little bit more manual and select, hey, I don't want my ads to run on Fan or something. But I think at this point, you just want to have dynamic placements.
Tired of overpaying for App Store optimization? Get unlimited ASO and app marketing support to increase your keyword rankings, downloads, and more importantly, your revenue. Learn more at asomasters.com.
Thanks for listening to the App Masters podcast. For show notes and amazing app marketing content, check out appmasters.co.